Welcome to the deep dive. We take your sources, boil them down, and hopefully give you the strategy you need.
That's the plan.
So today we're tackling something really key for anyone starting out financially. It's that feeling, you know, when you've got a decent chunk of cash ready, say $5,000, but you're just frozen. Analysis paralysis.
Oh, yeah. Completely normal.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic starting point, that $5,000. But knowing what to do, that's the hurdle. The sources we look at really help cut through that noise.
Good.
So this deep dive, it's all about building a practical, diversified plan specifically for that initial $5,000.
Right, because you hear it all the time, don't you? Like, oh, you need 20K, 50K to really invest.
Yeah, and our sources pretty much prove that wrong. $5,000 is definitely enough capital to get properly diversified, keep your costs down,
sure.
And, you know, build a really strong foundation.
Okay. Look, the main mission here isn't getting rich overnight. It's about balancing that long-term growth potential with sensible risk management. And that means figuring out your goals, your time frame, and honestly, how much risk you can stomach. Okay, let's unpack this then. $5,000. It sounds like it gets you access to pretty much everything. Stocks, bonds, funds.
It really does. It opens most doors. But hold on. Before you jump into what to buy, you absolutely have to pick the right type of account. That choice usually comes down to taxes.
Ah, taxes. Okay, yeah. So what are the main options there, especially the tax-advantaged ones?
Well, for long-term goals, like retirement, the Roth IRA, it's incredibly powerful. If you're under the income and contribution limits, you pay taxes on the money now.
Right.
But then decades of growth,
yeah.
All tax-free when you take it out later. It's huge.
Okay, tax-free growth, what's the alternative?
The traditional IRA. It's kind of the opposite. You get tax deductions now, which lowers your current tax bill.
Ah, okay.
But you pay income tax on the withdrawals down the road in retirement.
Got it. But what if retirement isn't the goal? Maybe, you know, saving for a house down payment in, say, 5 years. Or you just want the freedom to pull money out.
Good point. In that case, you'd probably go for just a regular taxable brokerage account. Total flexibility. Withdraw whenever, no penalties.
But there's a catch.
Yeah, yep. The trade-off is taxes again. You'll owe capital gains tax on any profits you make when you sell.
Okay, so we've picked our container, Roth, traditional, or taxable. Now, what about safety first? The source is really hammered home, starting with a safety net. What are those super low-risk options for part of the $5,000?
Yeah, you definitely want something to protect your principal, maybe keep up with inflation a bit. High-yield savings accounts or CDs, certificates of deposit, are perfect for this.
And returns are actually decent now.
Surprisingly good, yeah.
Yeah.
You're often seeing 4%, maybe even 5% annually. With almost zero risk, the recommendation from the sources is pretty strong. Put maybe $1,000, $1,500 of your $5,000 here. It's your emergency cushion.
Peace of mind money.
Exactly. It's not just an investment. It's like psychological stability.
Okay. And what about government-backed security, like ultra-safe fixed income?
Treasury securities. Can't get much safer, backed by the U.S. government. One type they mentioned specifically is TIPS, Treasury Inflation Protected Securities.
Why TIPS?
Because their value actually adjusts with inflation, with the consumer price index. So they help protect your purchasing power if costs go up. You can buy them direct from the government or, easier probably, through bond ETFs. Don't worry about the specific ticker symbols now. Just know you want low-cost access to government bonds.
Okay, so let's make this real. If someone listening is feeling cautious, prioritizing stability right now, how might that $5,000 look, roughly?
Right. A conservative approach could be something like, maybe $2,000 in a total stock market index fund. You still need some growth exposure, right?
Right.
Then $1,500 in diversified bond funds, that highest in dollar safe in the high yield savings account we talked about, and maybe the last $500 in specific dividend ETFs.
Okay, hold on. Dividend ETFs. You mentioned the sources talked about dividend aristocrats. What does that actually mean for someone just starting out?
Good question. It sounds fancy, but it's simple. Dividend aristocrats are just companies known for consistently increasing their dividend payouts year after year for a long, long time.
Okay.
For a new investor with $5,000, actually seeing that income, even if it's small each quarter, it's a really powerful motivator. It shows you your money's generating cash flow, plus you still get the potential for the stock price to go up.
Gotcha. So it makes the investing feel more tangible.
Exactly.
All right. That stable base is set. But like you said, nobody gets wealthy just in savings accounts. If you've got time on your side, you need growth, higher potential, maybe higher risk. This is where it gets interesting.
Absolutely. Now we shift gears a bit into moderate and maybe even some higher risk strategies. Once that safety net is funded, you really should look at dedicating, say, $1,000 to $1,500 of that initial $5,000 towards areas with potentially higher returns.
So what kind of funds give you that growth kick?
Well, you want to diversify beyond just the big U.S. companies. So the strategy suggests looking at small cap funds. These invest in smaller companies with more room to grow, potentially.
Okay.
And international funds. Super important. Markets outside the U.S. often move independently, which gives you a buffer, plus you get access to growth in other economies.
The sources also brought up sector ETFs. Tech always gets the headlines, but they mentioned sector rotation. For a beginner, what does that really mean?
Right. Sector rotation is basically the idea that you don't just pile into whatever's hot right now, like tech often is. You consider other sectors too, healthcare, financial services, energy, you know.
Right.
Because different parts of the economy perform better at different times. Like financials might do well when interest rates are rising. It's about spreading your growth bets across different industries, not just different companies.
Okay, that makes sense. Now the big one, picking individual stocks. If I only have $5,000 total, does it really make sense to put like $1,000 or $1,500 into just a handful of companies? Isn't that super risky?
That's a fair challenge. And yeah, the sources agree it's risky. That advice to limit it to 20, 30% max, so $1,000 to $1,500, is purely about managing that risk.
So how would that work practically?
Well, with only $1,000 for individual stocks, you might only buy fractional shares in, say, two or three companies you really believe in long term. You have to accept this part is maybe a bit more speculative compared to your broad index funds. High concentration risk for sure.
Okay. We should also touch on REITs, real estate investment trusts.
Definitely. REITs are great because they give you exposure to commercial real estate office buildings, malls, apartments without buying the properties yourself. It's another diversifier.
And they have a specific rule about payouts.
They do. REITs generally have to distribute at least 90% of their taxable income as dividends to shareholders. So, like those dividend aristocrats, they can be really good for generating steady income, but this time it's backed as real estate assets.
Okay. And finally, the highest risk stuff. Crypto. The advice seemed pretty strict there.
It has to be strict. Bitcoin, Ethereum. They're just incredibly volatile. So limit it. A tiny slice. Maybe 5%, 10% max of the total $5,000. It's only $250 to $500.
And the rationale for including it at all?
It's purely about potential diversification, oddly enough. Historically, crypto hasn't moved in sync with stocks or bonds. So a very small allocation gives you a lottery ticket, basically, for potentially huge returns without sinking your whole portfolio if it crashes.
Right. Keep the stake really small. So if we pull this all together, mixing the safety with the growth, what does that moderate risk model look like for the $5,000?
A balanced approach might be $2,000 in those broad market index funds, maybe $1,000 aimed at growth, either sector ETFs or a few carefully chosen stocks. Then $1,000 in international funds, $500 in REITs for that real estate income.
Uh-huh.
And the last $500 kept in bonds or just cash equivalents for stability and liquidity. That gives you a decent spread across different drivers of return.
Okay, so we figured out what assets make sense. Now, the how. How do you actually buy these things without freaking out about whether the market's going to crash tomorrow? This leads us to diversification and timing, right?
Exactly. It's the crucial next step. Lots of beginners think, oh, $5,000 isn't enough to diversify properly. But the sources show you absolutely can by thinking about risk in three ways.
Okay, dimension one.
Asset class diversification. This is the most basic. Like that simple three-fund portfolio idea. Maybe $3,000 in total U.S. stocks, $1,500 in international stocks, $500 in bonds. Boom, you've covered the major bases.
Simple enough, dimension two.
Geographic diversification, we touched on this. Don't put all your money in the U.S. market. Use those international funds to get exposure elsewhere, Europe, Asia, emerging markets. Their economies don't always move with ours, which adds resilience.
Right, don't bet everything on one country. And the third dimension.
Sector and size diversification. This is about mixing things up within the stock market itself. Well, most big index funds are dominated by large cap stocks, right?
Sure.
Big companies. You should also include some small cap and mid cap stocks, smaller companies. They can be more volatile, yeah, but often have higher growth potential over the long haul.
Okay.
And you also want a mix of value stocks companies that look cheap compared to their earnings.
Mm.
And growth stocks, those fast growing companies like tech firms. You need both styles for balance.
Got it. So spreading the money across asset types, regions, and company size styles. But what about spreading the buying itself to avoid that timing anxiety, dollar cost averaging, or DCA.
Yes, DCA is your friend here. It's basically a way to stop worrying about timing the market perfectly, which is, let's be honest, impossible.
So how does it work with the $5,000?
Instead of investing the whole $5,000 at once, you spread it out. Maybe invest $1,000 a month for 5 months or $800-ish over 6 months, whatever feels comfortable.
And the benefit?
You automatically buy more shares when prices dip and fewer shares when prices are high. It smooths out your average purchase price and reduces the risk of going all in right before a drop. Takes the emotion out of it.
Yeah, I can see how that would make it much less stressful for a beginner. Okay, so you've used DCA, you've bought your assets according to your target mix. How do you keep it that way? Discipline.
Rebalancing. This is key for long-term discipline. You check your portfolio periodically, maybe every 6 months or once a year.
And what are you checking for?
You see if your target percentages have drifted. Let's say stocks did great, and now they're 75% of your portfolio instead of the 60% you aimed for.
Okay.
Rebalancing means you sell some of the winners or the stocks that ran up and use that money to buy more of what lagged, like your bonds, to bring everything back to your target percentages.
Ah, so it forces you to sell high and buy low automatically.
Exactly. Without you having to guess or make emotional calls. It's systematic.
That's actually pretty smart. Okay, so we've covered the core stuff. Stocks, bonds, funds, diversification, timing. Now, the source has also mentioned looking beyond these towards alternative assets, especially after the main portfolio is set up. Why bother with alternatives?
Yeah, good question. It comes down to seeking even more diversification and stability. Your traditional portfolio, even with REITs, might still be heavily tied to public markets. Alternatives offer exposure to things less correlated.
Like what?
Things like private credit, infrastructure projects, maybe fractional ownership of different kinds of real estate, assets that aren't traded daily on stock exchanges. The source mentioned a platform, Gamma Assets, as an example, providing access to these kinds of asset-backed options.
And the big appeal is that they don't move perfectly with the stock market.
That's the main idea. Low correlation. So when stocks are tanking, these might hold their value better or decline less, acting like ballast for your overall portfolio.
Interesting. So for someone starting with just $5,000, how would they even integrate this? Seems complex.
Well, you wouldn't start here. You'd build your core stock bond portfolio first. But then you might consider allocating a small slice, maybe 10%, 20% of the $5,000. So $500 to $1,000 to an alternative platform.
But there are downsides.
Absolutely. The big one is liquidity. Unlike stocks or ETFs you can sell any day, these alternative investments often lock up your money for years.
Ah, okay. Not for short-term cash needs.
Definitely not. And you absolutely must do your homework. Research the platform, understand their fees, track record, how transparent they are. Due diligence is critical here.
Makes sense. Okay, let's try to wrap this up by hitting those core questions head on. First, is $5,000 actually enough to start investing properly?
Yes, absolutely. It's enough to build a well-diversified portfolio across different assets right from the start. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Question two, invest it all at once, lump sum, or gradually with DCA?
Okay, so history and stats suggest lump sum tends to do better over the long run simply because your money's working for you longer. But for most beginners, DCA is probably the smarter psychological choice. It lowers risk, smooths the ride, and drastically cuts down on that, did I invest at the wrong time? Anxiety.
Gotcha. And finally, if someone's just starting, not sure about their risk tolerance, what's a sensible default asset mix?
Keep it simple to start. Something like 60% to 70% in broad stock market funds, maybe 20% to 30% in international stock funds, and the remaining 10% to 20% in bonds. That's a solid, time-tested starting point you can easily tweak later as you learn more about yourself and your goals.
Okay, so really the biggest takeaway here isn't about picking the perfect fund or timing the market. Learning how to invest this first $5,000, it's just the beginning, isn't it?
It's totally the starting line. The sources really emphasize this. Consistency beats perfection every single time. The real power, the magic of building wealth, comes from adding to that initial $5,000 regularly.
Even small amounts, especially small amounts, consistently. Adding just $100, maybe $200 a month on top of that initial investment. That's what dramatically changes the long-term picture. That $5,000 could grow to $50,000 or much more over 20 or 30 years, mostly thanks to those steady additions and compounding. Time in the market, not timing the market. That's the strategy. So what does this all really mean for you listening? If dollar-cost averaging investing small amounts consistently over time is a smart way to manage risk and anxiety in your finances, what other parts of your life could benefit from that same approach? That disciplined, small, consistent, incremental effort. Something to think about as you get started on building your wealth.